secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard. This is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Actor, comedian, director, screenwriter, and voice actor Bobcat Goldthwait has directed several films, including Sleeping Dogs Lie, World's Greatest Dad, and God Bless America. Was a voice actor for Hercules and Lilo and Stitch, and made television appearances with Mad TV, Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons, and Married with Children. He'll be in Columbus on December 6th and 7th with Columbus GalaxyCon. Welcome to Craft, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Hey, you know, and the following weekend, I'm playing the comedy club here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm buying a trailer. I'm going to live in Columbus for the week.
No problem.
I'll bring the ducks.
That'll be cool. Your pet ducks.
Well, Alice Cooper's not my duck. That's my cat. Sid and Nancy and Ethel Merman are my ducks' names.
Nice. That's an unusual couple.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to kill each other yet, but...
Well, you know, Sid's the only one that does that.
Yeah, Sid does. I guess he did that better than play bass.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Pretty bad bass player. All right.
You're possibly best known for your roles as Zed in the Police Academy films and Elliot Loudermilk in Scrooged. What do your fans ask you about the most?
They ask me about Encino Woman. I was in a movie called Encino Woman. People make fun of me for being in Police Academy. It's like, dude, that's the top of the... that's the echelon. But people know me from Police Academy and Scrooge the most. Some folks at cons know me from my stand-up, but it's mostly Police Academy. I put off doing Comic Cons for 20 years. I just didn't want to do them, you know? I just thought it would be like being stuck with that annoying person at a party that corners you. I thought it'd be 15,000 of those, but it's completely different. The people at Comic-Cons are very sweet. I haven't gone to any of the wild ones. I heard the one in Atlanta is kind of like an orgy, but the ones that I've been to are very sweet people. These are the people that got picked on. It's a convention for everyone that got snuggies in high school. People come up and they're just really sweet. I'm used to being in comedy clubs where I'm dealing with hecklers, drunk people that come up after the show, or the people that sell autographs online, and they're very aggressive and they're not very nice. I thought that's what Comic Cons were going to be, but I've done a few now and I really love them. You make stuff and you run into people and they recognize you, but to be able to have a little moment with all these people that you've actually affected their lives sounds corny, but I never thought of it in that terms. It's been very sweet.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear, because you never really know what's going to happen at events.
Well, you don't know, too, like, is this person on the other side of the table looking at me with contempt, like, thanks for the dough, nerd. But that hasn't been my situation.
In a 2016 interview, you said, if I were to drop dead, I would want people to explore movies like Call Me Lucky or World's Greatest Dad. I'm proud of all of my movies, but those are the two movies I feel like I did a pretty good job on. Tell me about those movies. Do you still feel that way, or has other work that you've done since 2016 eclipsed them?
Oh, no. I mean, I went off and did a series on Misfits and Monsters on True TV, which is the Federal Witness Relocation Network. If you need to cool off, they give you a TV show there and you're safe. But I'm proud of that show. But World's Greatest Dad, I just saw for the first time in a long time. They played it at a film festival, and I hadn't seen it like that since Robin passed away. Robin Williams, my buddy, he stars in it. I think the movie's a good movie, but I thought it was going to be upsetting to watch Robin, and the first 10 minutes it was, and then it switched. I just always took it for granted what a great actor he is. And I was watching the movie, and I was like, wow, what a really nice gift he gave me, lending his talents to this movie. When I was watching it, I was like going, I didn't come up with that line. Toby Huss did, and that's Tom Kenny ad-libbing there, and that's Jill Talley ad-libbing there. Like, I just realized, like, all these people were really nice. I felt very supported and loved, which was a strange feeling. I never thought the movie was dark, and then when I saw it, I was like, this movie's dark. But it was a really good experience watching it. It made me feel just a lot of gratitude.
one of the odd parts about getting older is that you lose friends and then you go back to see them and they're stuck in that moment of time and you've had to move on. I share the sense of watching dead loved ones on screen and thinking, what is this going to be like?
Yeah, I've avoided watching Robin perform in movies or stand up since he died because the real reason is like, that's not the Robin I knew. I'm happy that people have so much love for him and a connection with him, but that's not the guy I knew. So it didn't really interest me too much, you know? It just made me sad.
Because that was the character he was playing is not the guy you knew? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Robin is just equivalent of my persona that people knew me for was much more extreme than Robin's, but Robin felt that he could turn it off around me and we would just sit around and talk and hang out and be friends. That's the guy I miss. I didn't think I was going to be talking about Robin so much, but you know, and then it's funny, Call Me Lucky is about another friend who passed away. So, but that's a different movie, you know, that's a documentary and that's a hard watch for other reasons. If someone's going to look for it now and watch it, there's a warning there because it deals heavily with child abuse. Barry Crimmins, a comedian, and I did a story on him, and you think you're watching a documentary on this great comedian that you never heard of, and it goes much further than that. It's his, I hate this word, it's his journey from being this really angry curmudgeon to going through that abuse and coming out the other side and then just being a very angry curmudgeon still. One that was helping a lot of people, including himself, heal. Mm-hmm. And it's a very sweet movie. So, yeah, I think those are the two best things that I've written and directed.
What attracts you more to directing than performing?
I do enjoy stand-up. I still enjoy performing. But every time I make something that I've written, and sometimes I work for other people, I intentionally don't make the same kind of movie. And that's why it interests me a lot. That's exciting. I go, can I do a scary found footage movie that's actually about male intimacy issues and fears and make it about Bigfoot? Every time I do these movies, it's always the challenge of, can I do this? Every time I write a script, I'm not thinking about how awesome it's going to be when I make it. I'm thinking, how the F am I going to make this? That's what's interesting to me. And that's the whole fun. I've done stand-up. I started when I was 15 and I'm 63 now. Stand-up is still rewarding when it works and when I'm making new stuff. But I kind of know how the pieces of the puzzle work in that world versus I'm still learning as a storyteller.
You now live in Ireland most of the time. So I'm curious, you talk about knowing how the puzzle pieces fit, and that's probably the puzzle pieces in the U.S. What's it like being in Ireland, maybe doing stand-up or movie making?
Well, I say America got too great. It just got too great for me. I was like, I can't take all this.
All the greatness.
All this joy and success and harmony, you know. Mm. It's just been so wonderful for so many people. I went off and eloped with this woman that I'd gone out with 10 years ago. You don't usually get a chance at the one that got away, and I did, and I took advantage of it. She was living in Ireland, and I was like, yeah, all right. Let's, you know, I didn't think twice about moving there. My grandparents on my mother's side are from Ireland. I'm working on becoming an Irish citizen right now. And I live about half an hour from Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, it's funny, Jimmy Kimmel was just over there about a month ago. I got to hang out with him. I used to direct the Kimmel Show, and Jimmy's remained one of my best friends. That was really fun, actually. We're still in touch and good buddies.
Okay. If you're within half a mile of Rosie O'Donnell, you may be within the blast radius.
Yeah. Well, I didn't help my game by hanging out with Kimmel. If I survived...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm on the S list.
Yeah, there's a very long list. It's getting longer every day.
Wait, why do I hate this person? You know, and you know what? I used to live my life like that. Like, why do I resent this guy? And I don't know if I've grown or if my memory's just gotten worse, but the list is definitely a lot shorter.
Yeah, I feel like in my own case, losing a little bit of the memory as you get older, and you're like, okay, I know there was some reason that I was mad at him, but I can't remember it anymore.
I have two friends that can't remember why they're mad, but they're still not going to be friends.
Mad at each other.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I asked each of them separately, why are you mad? Like, I thought I was going to do patch them up. And they, neither of them could remember.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to know how insane this is?
Were you able to patch that up? Or
no.
Still?
No. They just know. Not. They actually know the amount of anger it was. So that's what keeps them. They don't remember the cause, but they remember the volume.
Yeah. The lesson here, as long as you remember that you are mad, it doesn't matter why you're mad.
It's interesting they act like. But you do hear this idea of being healthy is not carrying all this negativity around with you. I know a lot of really angry old people. I wonder if that's part of why they're too tenacious to angry.
Yeah. My wife had a relative like that. When she died, I was like, well, there's a lot less anger in the world now.
I don't know what it is. I think for me, it's like, is this a fight that's worth it?
You know?
Are these all the hills you want to die on? A slight from somebody at the Comedy Store from 35 years ago. Is it really, ruined today? I think people in show business, if they can get it through their heads, if they can realize that they're not competing with other people, you're competing with yourself. And once you learn that, then you're not angry at the business. The business is going to do what the business does. Now, what am I doing today as a creative person? If I'm saying I'm an actor, what does that mean? Well, that means I'll go put on a play. That's what that means. Doesn't mean I'm going to wait around for a dog food commercial.
Which would be a bit of a surprise. You know, saw you in a dog food.
Yeah, I mean, as a young man, I would like, I'm not doing commercials. I would sell out. I would eat dog food on camera at this point.
Yeah, I've said that any number of times in my own decidedly not showbiz related career at all. You know, I'd be happy to be bribed, but nobody is interested.
By the time you want to sell out, they usually don't want what you're buying.
I simply have no information of value to sell anyone. Bobcat Goldthwait, thank you very much for talking to me today.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob and like 400 other characters.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy and I have known each other since we were 6 years old. He's been doing the cons forever, and he's been telling me for 20 years, when are you going to go? I go, man, that was a great experience. He's like, yeah, I wasn't trying to get you to do something terrible. And for me, going out and doing them with Tim Kazurinsky, who I did all those police academies with, Tim and I, Tom Kenny and Tim Kazurinsky, those are two of my oldest friends. So that's another awesome thing about this. Kazurinsky and I met on Police Academy and remained friends all these years. People will say to me, what was your favorite part of Police Academy? It's always going to be meeting Tim.
I talked to Tim and he mentioned that you did a thing where you said, I'm going to spray mace in my mouth and kiss you. His question was, is it real mace?
I didn't bother with like, hey, how you doing? I'm a big fan of yours. I really liked you on Saturday Live. I was just like, hey, how you doing? I think it was even quicker than that. I think it was more like, hey, I'm going to kiss you during the take. At least I asked for consent.
Yes. And you let him know that there might be mace involved.
There's something in my mouth. There's going to be a foreign substance in my mouth. That's a big heads up.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.